message on strongholds. 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 10. 2 Corinthians is about two-thirds of the way through the New Testament, I'd guess. Seventh lesson on strongholds. What are the weapons that we have to pull down our strongholds? This is what we're talking about today. What are the weapons to pull down strongholds? We've talked about the strongholds. We've talked about what they are and what they could be in our lives. But what are the weapons? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though we should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord had given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as I would terrify you by letters. I'm going to prep a word of prayer, and we'll talk about what are our weapons to pull down strongholds. Let's pray. And our Father, we thank you for the Word of God, the precious Bible, Father, and we thank you that you have inspired it, you preserved it for us today, and not one jot or tittle has passed from it. We thank you for that. We think of the Spirit of God that leads and guides us into all truth. We thank you we are not alone, but we have you. And we're two or more gathered, you're in the midst of them. And thank you for the people, Lord, that have come, Lord, and the good crowd of people who are hungry for your word, who've taken time, even though that the clocks have been changed today and they lost an hour of sleep. They're still here and faithful, Lord. And we praise you for that. And we pray that, Lord, you would reward every one of us with strength, Lord. We are needy people. We are humans, Lord, and you remember we are but dust, and we thank you for that, and you pity us as a father pities his children. And Lord, remember our weakness, and we ask that in the knowledge of that weakness you give us great strength, for your strength is made perfect in weakness. And we ask that today you'd speak to hearts, help our minds be attentive, and your spirit to speak to us. I pray that in each one of us individually would listen to what you have for us, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this passage, of course, we've been here for seven different messages, but it says our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual. Our weapons are not weapons of the flesh. The word carnal means flesh, but spiritual, and they are mighty through God, the pulling down of strongholds. In this passage, though, wrapped around this passage that we read, verses, I think, 3-6, that we focused on, are an interesting part, because as we'll get to that, Paul is telling them that I'm fighting for you. But you've got people there, as he's writing back in Corinth, he had people in Corinth who were fighting against him and telling him, don't listen to Paul, keep doing your worldly ways, keep doing the immoral things, and you don't need to listen to Paul, we're apostles also, you listen to us. And there are false teachers who are in a tug of war against Paul. Paul could not get to Corinth, so he had to write letters to them. And so he wrote letters and tried to get them straightened out. And Paul said, I'm trying to straighten you out through the spiritual war. He says, I'm not going to get you right, and I'm not going to get your situation right. I'm not going to do this because through my ability. He says, I know I am weak in bodily presence. Paul, if Paul preached to us today, you would say, are you sure you're called to the ministry? Because Paul, the Bible says, when he spoke in fear and in weakness and in much trembling. 1 Corinthians 2. He was a man who, in bodily presence, he was very weak. I mean, some people you see and they're big and strong and strapping and handsome and they're all those things and you say, man, that person is, they got a great presence. Then Paul, you say, he's a little guy. He's weak. He trembles when he preaches. And you wouldn't be impressed with Paul's physical ability, but his spiritual ability was great power. He said, I spoke in you in weakness and fear and much trembling. But it was a demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And so he came with great power in spirit, and he says, I'm not going to convince you and straighten you out and change you through physical things. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not physical weapons. The weapons I fight with are spiritual weapons, and those weapons, he gives a few characteristics of them, pull down strongholds. It says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God of the pulling down of strongholds. I think if most people think this way, and I think most churches, and I think it's very common, they thought if we had all the right tools, we could really change some lives. If we had the right building and the right situation with the right people and the right this, you will never change a life through earthly things. You can have the best building, you can have the prettiest Bible, you can have whatever it is. It's not going to change a life. You don't change a life through physical things. It's not because you're so convincing, or you put up such a good argument, or you're so charismatic, or anything like that. He says our weapons are not that, but they are mighty. And if we go back, these strongholds are fortresses that are in our lives. And these fortresses get built up from whatever, you're a bad habit that you picked up from your parents, you get this stronghold. These strongholds come from many different things. But you have a stronghold in your life, and that stronghold brings you in a circle and makes you fail again and again. In that area of your life, you go forward, and all of a sudden you get near that area and you get defeated because there's a stronghold full of enemies that come out and destroy you, and you've got a stronghold in your life, and that's why you might fail with the same sins every time, whether it's lust or whether it's anger or whether it's bitterness or whether it's hatred or whether it's laziness or not going to church or whatever it is. It's because you have a stronghold in your life, and those strongholds, they get passed down. The sins of the fathers are visited in the third and fourth generation. You get it from your parents many times. They might not have said, I want you to be lazy. They just had a stronghold of laziness and you picked it up. They had a stronghold of depression or bad thinking and you picked that up from them. They had a stronghold of anger and you picked it up. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You know what your stronghold is, and that stronghold gets handed down to you. And every time you get around that stronghold in the realm of your life, you might have a big realm and just one little stronghold. But every time you get in that area, you get defeated in the same way, and you can't go in the realm of victory because you fall and you go back again and fall. The Bible says you got to tear down the strongholds. What's happened is we have accepted the strongholds because we've been told we're victims, and we have to be victims of our stronghold. And now the line for strongholds is, now that's just the way I am. And if you want to say, well, that's just the way I am, you will continue to have that stronghold forever, and I can't help you at all. I want to tell you that if you're just going to say that's the way you are and you can't help yourself, I can't help you. No reason to ask my advice. If you aren't going to attack the stronghold and say I'm going to tear it down, then I'll wish you all the luck in the world, and I'll love you, and I'll be glad in your church. I just won't get over that stronghold. If you say, I'm going to attack the stronghold, I'm going to go and pull that thing down, then you can change your life and get victory in every area. Because there's many people who are 90% good Christians and 10% disaster. I don't want to be 10% disaster. It's not even 10% mediocre. It's 90% good Christian, 10% disaster. And you know what you become known for in your home? You know what your kids will notice and your spouse will notice? The disaster. And you know what they're going to throw in your face all the time? Your disaster. Amen. It's good preaching, Pastor. It's true. And it is true. People notice your disaster, and the strongholds destroy you, and they keep you there. So you got that stronghold. The Bible says the power of God is mighty, the pulling down of strongholds. Three things about this. Number one, our weapons are mighty. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. When a parent will have a wayward child, or a child getting in trouble, or a child that just drives them crazy, and they'll say, you know, if I just had enough money to just buy them a house, they'd be all settled. It's not a fleshy thing they need. You might buy them a house, but you might find out they treat that house like the apartment they have. Or their car. If I could just go, if all my finances were just settled, I would be fine. If I just had the right spouse, my spouse would treat me right. We can sit here and live and say, if, or you can make something great out of yourself and just see how everything else works out. Everyone just kind of likes to just say, well, if my boss is a nice boss, if I would have grown up like this, if I would have had, You didn't, and you're not. So why don't you make a great life now from where you are and tear down the strongholds in your life instead of sitting here saying, if. You don't need physical things. You're not going to change somebody's life by physical things. But the weapons of our warfare are spiritual, and they are mighty, it says. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, but mighty through God. Number one, our weapons are mighty. Number two, they are spiritual. Number three, they are only through God. The weapons of warfare are not mighty, but are not carnal, but mighty through God, the pulling down of stronghold. Through God. You know, here's a funny thing. I could give you all the right steps, and I'm going to give you steps of how to use these things. But understand, if God's not involved, even the steps won't work. For without Him, you can do nothing. You know, you could read the Bible, and if the Holy Spirit doesn't lead and guide you in the Bible, you can't understand the Bible. Spiritually lead and guide you in all truth. They're spiritually discerned. If I preach you today and I preach you the best sermon in the world and I preach it every way and I did everything just perfect homiletically, whatever that means, and I gave you everything just perfectly and gave you all that stuff, and you go and get the message and you say, and I preach it, I preach good Bible truth, but the Holy Spirit didn't speak through me, it's not going to help you. Because it's through God. All these weapons are dependent upon God working. And if you don't depend upon God, none of this will work. You're just going to do all the right steps. And there's a lot of mechanical Christians who do all the right steps, and it doesn't work. You can do all the right steps to witness to somebody without the power of the Holy Spirit. They can't get saved. You can do everything just right in every way you want to try, but it's mighty through God. So your weapons are mighty, even though they're not physical. So you say, well, I don't got much money, or I don't got good health. It doesn't matter. The weapons are mighty through God. The weapons are mighty. It's not how strong you are. I'm going to pull down that stronghold. It doesn't matter. You can be able to bench press 600 pounds. You can't see the stronghold. It's not a physical stronghold. It's a spiritual stronghold, and so you can pull it down no matter what your stronghold is. Your weapons are spiritual weapons, not physical weapons. You don't need earthly things. A bazooka is not going to help. A tank is not going to help. It's a spiritual war, and they're mighty through God. What are our weapons then, Pastor? How am I going to pull down my strongholds? Let me give you just some weapons right here out of this passage. Number one, our weapons are a controlled mind. Verse 5. I know we talked a little bit about this, a different lesson, but it's a little different. Number one, a controlled mind. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Immediately after it says we pull down strongholds and we can do it through God, it says casting down imaginations. The battle's in the mind. Casting down imaginations, a controlled mind. I'm going to give you a few verses on this. Let me explain it to you. Let me read you a few verses. Stay there in 2 Corinthians. Let me read 1 Peter, and you can turn to these if you'd like, but I'm going to turn to 1 Peter. Make sure you stay in 2 Corinthians, though. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober." It says deacon's wife is supposed to be sober-minded, and sober means under control, okay? It says gird up the loins of your mind. Understand, people would wear robes, and they'd go down, and they'd be very long. And when you had to run somewhere or had to do something active, you would gird up. You'd grab your robe, and you'd pull it up in a knot, and you grab it, and you'd gird it up. That would mean gird it up. You'd grab that thing, or you'd tie it in a knot, and you would gird that thing up so it wouldn't tangle your legs, and so there wasn't a loose hanging out, so it wouldn't get caught on a bush. And you'd gird up your loins, and then you could go be active and do things. That's what that means. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. What does that mean? Get rid of all the loose thinking. The shiny objects. It means take your mind and pull it and rein it in. As a matter of fact, our verse in 2 Corinthians says, casting down imaginations and every high thing exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Whoa. Last night, for whatever reason, I was doing some things, and I was going around, I was busy, and I got a old secular, one of my old songs in my mind. And I don't want to think what it was. It was just a song, and it wasn't a good song. It was an old secular song, and it wasn't a Christian song, and it wasn't a godly song. And I didn't want it in my mind. Well, most people, just whatever comes to their mind, comes to their mind. I refuse to let my mind just be going by itself. You know why? Because I have a depraved mind. And so do you, whether you admit it or not. You don't hammer your thumb with a hammer and say, you know, God is so great that he made pain. You don't go and somebody gets revenge or hurts you and you don't say, you know what, I just wish that they would just be happy and blessed today. That happens on purpose. Your mind is a depraved mind, and I started getting a bad song in my mind, and I immediately got a good song on my mind. And I started singing, he touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Sing it out loud, by the way. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. I don't have time for record, so don't even ask. I started singing. I don't know if anybody else liked it, but I liked it because it got my mind off that bad song. I drew that in. I said, I'm not going to sit here and think that way. Casting down imaginations. Oh, good night. We get a bunch of bad thoughts, don't we? And by the way, bad thoughts, when you say that, people say, oh, you're talking about dirty mind and perverted thought. There's a lot of ways of bad thoughts. When you go start meditating on keying your boss's car after work, that's a bad thought. When you go out and you start saying, you know what, I'm going to go get drunk. I'm going to go, you know what I'm going to do to my wife? Or you think about immoral things. Those are bad thoughts. And you take those thoughts and you say, whoa, I'm casting that down. See, a focused mind, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, under control in your mind. Bible says, Titus 2:16, tell young men that they be sober-minded. Romans 8:16, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You've got to control your mind. See, most of the things you do in your life are because, what we talked about last week, your eyes affect your mind, and your mind affects your body, and you do what you see eventually. And you've got to be spiritually minded. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There is all kinds of things in the Bible you're supposed to grab your mind and say, you're going to think this way. And your mind says, I want to think about this and this and this and get distracted. So how do you control your mind, Pastor? I don't have time to preach a whole sermon on it, but a bunch of things. First of all, you don't put your mind under the power of any. Casting down imaginations. Real simple, the biggest way people's minds get messed up is television, number one. Why? Because when you're watching television, once you get this, what happens is a TV grabs your mind and says you're going to think about this and imagine this. So that's what television is. It is taking you somewhere and putting you somewhere, and you're going to watch and see and vision and imagine everything they say. That's why you never watch anything that isn't godly. And you never let anybody take your mind where you wouldn't want them to take it. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. I think Psalms 101 says that. You've got to go and say, I will not let any imaginations come into my mind. Guard the eye gate. And then when your mind starts going the wrong way, you overcome evil with good and you begin to think good things. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. You go and you overcome and you start thinking good thoughts. Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are virtuous, whatsoever things are honest, of good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. You've got to get your mind under control, and it just takes simple discipline. My mind's going to a bad spot. Oops, stop. Nope, your mind, I think about that. Isn't it a beautiful day outside? Man, I'm sure glad my car runs today. You know, I feel good. I can walk today. I can think. And you take your mind off things. You are reining in your thoughts and bringing every thought into captivity. You grab your mind and say, you're going to think about this today. Everything's bad. Everything's wrong. No, think about the good things. Oh, everything's wrong in my life, or I'm hurting, or everybody's mean to me. Everybody's mean to you? Is there somebody you can think about good? Everything's falling apart. Everything's terrible. Bring your mind to control. Satan will grab your mind and take it right into the gutter and say, think about everything rotten, miserable, and hopeless. Aren't you miserable? And you will be. You've got to have a controlled mind. Your mind must get focused, just like your body. You're going to say, you're not going to do that, body. But by the way, once your mind's lost all of its control, your body has no resistance, and your body will just go wherever your desires take you. I want to do that. Here I go. I can't stop eating. I can't stop smoking. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop getting revenge. I can't stop hurting people and abusing people. Why? Because you have no control. Because your mind is just... And your body there has nothing to restrain it from what it wants. And your body says, me want this. And you take whatever you want. Because your mind never is not restrained anymore. And everything you imagine, you get. And what happened when God destroyed the world? He says, their thoughts were only evil continually. You'll eventually get there if you don't say, you will think on this thing. Do not sit here and constantly dwell on the wrong things. You decide what you're going to think on. You make a plan. I will not be double-minded. I will think on good things. I'll be sober. You eventually get, you can go and think about immoral things, but you can also get a wrong thought process. It is very hard to reprogram a mind when the mind has been programmed wrong. People say a funny thing. They say, I think you're brainwashing people. Well, a whole bunch of brains need washing nowadays. They need big showers. They need to shove their brain through a car wash and then pour a bunch of Pine Sol in it. It's dirty. Our brains need cleanse, not brainwashing like a robot. They need cleanse, and they need to be brought under control. And many times when dealing with somebody with emotional problems and mental problems, they've got a way of thinking that they've been brought into the same rut, and they fall into those same ruts. Their car always goes the same ruts, and they say, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. Your parents told you you can't. Your parents told you you're worthless. Now you got that mind that's under control. You can't say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Because you've been brought into defeat, or you watched your own experience, or people told you you're worthless, or you couldn't do anything great. And so you're saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. That's a wrong way of thinking. And you got to bring that thought into captivity and say, I don't feel like I can, but the Bible says I can. With God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I am going to think right about myself. I'm going to think right about God. I'm going to think right about people. I've got the wrong way of thinking. Women who've been harmed many times, they get these scars in their minds, and they think about their husband the same way they thought about someone who harmed them 30 years ago. Get your mind out of a rut and bring it under control and think the way you're supposed to think. You don't just go say, well, I think this way and that's the way I am. You bring your mind and say, mind, you're going here. You're going to think this way and think on these things. I'm not going to let you think that way because it's bad thinking. You bring every thought into captivity. Whatever happened to strong people anymore? Humans just say, I'm not going to just be laid down and put my feet up and say, I'm just dead. I'm just hopeless. Stop. Fight. Get up and say, sorry, mind, you're not thinking about that anymore. And you can pull down your strongholds. It starts off with right thinking. It takes practice. It takes controlling the outside stimulation. If you continually stare on the people who are going to say bad things about you and say you're hopeless and can never do anything good, guess to what you're going to continue to think. If you continue to stay around bitter people, you'll continue to stay bitter. If you continue to stay around gossipy people and people who talk about bad immoral things and tell bad jokes and say bad things, you're going to continue to think that way. You must control the outside stimuli. You might can't watch the bad stuff and listen to the bad music. And listen, what do you think you're going to think like if you listen to music that talks about killing people, sexual immorality, all that stuff? What do you think you're going to think about it? You've got to control outside stimulus, and you've got to practice and control your mind and say, you are going to think about these things. That's what the first step is in this passage of controlling our minds. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you want to go and break down a stronghold, you must first control your mind. The battle is in the mind. Number two, this one will surprise you, but it's in this passage. It's fascinating. Second thing that'll help you break down strongholds is spiritual accountability. Wrapped around our passage about tearing down strongholds is a man saying, I'm going to tear down the strongholds in your life and help you. And if you don't listen to me, I'm going to come down and I'm going to straighten you out. That's verse 1 through 2. He says, they're saying to you that Paul is weak and all this stuff. He says, I can be very weak, but if I get there, you're not going to think I'm weak anymore. I'm going to straighten you guys out. I won you to Christ, and I'm going to do that. Spiritual accountability. Verse 6, it says, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? Okay, I'm weak, I'm small, I tremble, that's fine. If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that he is that, as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us to edification, to build you up, and not fear destruction, I should not be ashamed. That I may seem as if I would terrify you by letters. He says, you know what? I don't want to force you, but I have the authority to straighten you out. I'm an apostle. Verse 1, now I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence and base among you, of being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, whereas I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. They think, oh, he's just this small and he can't teach anything and he's just a weak little guy. He says, God has given me the authority of an apostle, and I need you to straighten out. God has not given me great physical abilities, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are spiritual, to pulling down the strongholds. And I'm going to come and bring revenge upon the disobedience who don't straighten it out. I'm going to straighten out those people who are hurting you, but I want to do this through meekness, and you just listen to me, like any good person who loves people would do. Watch how Paul uses a little bit stronger language a couple different times. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'll explain what this means to you. Spiritual accountability. What this means is you need someone to whoop you into shape sometimes. You need someone to watch out for you. As the Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, they watch for your souls. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this, by the way, this is the same church. They've been wayward and going away from God, and he says, I'm trying to straighten you out. Straighten out by my letters, okay? Because if I don't, you know, straighten out by my letters, I'm coming there in person. And he says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, and to teach everywhere in every church. Now, some are puffed up as though I would not come unto you. But I will come unto you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word. These guys are good talkers, but in power. I'm coming in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love? And in the spirit of meekness. He says, all right, guys, I'm coming. When I come, do you want me to say, hey, guys, you're doing great. I'm proud of you, and I love you. Do you want me to come in love, or do you want me to come with a rod? Because I'm going to straighten you out one way or another. It's great to have someone in your life to straighten you out. And it's great to have someone in life who can walk up to you and say, what are you doing? Knock it off. You're not going to do that. You are better than that. You need someone in your life to do that. By the way, your children need that from their parents. They need that from their parents more than they need it from their pastor, by the way. They need it from their parents. Your kids should be like you are with God. They love you. They want to obey you. But they know if they don't obey you, they're saying, oh. I'd rather mom and dad come to me with love than with the rod. But they know if I don't obey them, although they're asking me nicely now, if I don't obey them, they're going to whoop me. And any child that doesn't have any fear of you, they will mock you and make a joke of you. Because they know you're not going to do anything. You've got to be able to have someone with that spiritual accountability. Look at let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In other words, Paul is saying, I want to come and straighten you out. I want you to listen to me, and I'm just going to write a letter, and if you listen to me, everything's great. But and they're telling you, well, Paul can't do anything. He's just a little weak guy. And he says, understand, I have authority with me. I have the power of God. And you need to listen to what I say. Verse 12. I told you therefore, and 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 2. I told you before and foretell you, as I were present the second time, and being absent, now I write unto them which heretofore have sinned, and all other, that when I come again, I will not spare. For since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking to me to you, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he's crucified through the weakness, Jesus was, and he liveth through the power of God. He says, I come to you this time, and you don't listen. He wrote the first book. They didn't listen. The people told him, don't listen to Paul. He says, I'm trying to write to you. We need to pull down these strongholds. If I come this time, and you guys aren't straightened out, I will not spare. Some of you have this blessing in your parents. You're afraid of your parents finding out. Good. That'll keep you straight. Sometimes you don't love Jesus enough and God enough to do it for him. It's okay that, you know what, if my kids don't love God enough to do what's right, I want them to be afraid that, oh, Dad, I'm not going to do it anyway because Dad's going to kill me if he finds out. That's good, because they won't do it. No, I just think you don't only do it for Jesus, okay? Your child does not love Jesus enough, and somebody offers him heroin, and my child doesn't love Jesus enough, somebody offers him heroin. Your child goes and does heroin because they don't care, because they know you're not going to do anything. And my child says, I don't love Jesus enough, but you know what? My dad's going to beat the fire out of me. And they don't do heroin. Whose kids are better off? You ought to be afraid of some people in your life, them finding out, and there ought to be some people in your life who sometimes whoop you into shape. Maybe your spouse. Sometimes you can be a really spiritual child. You ever one of those really spiritual children? I can't believe you're doing that, Mom. Why are you doing that? Come here, kid. you should have someone in your life. You should have a pastor. They watch for your souls. A parent, maybe. A friend. You're lucky. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometime you go off and you go back in your old life and your friend comes over and sees, what is this? What is this doing in your house? That's a good thing. Some accountability in your life where someone will go and say, you know, I'm getting a switch. I should whoop you. What are you doing? I'm calling your mom and telling her what you're... No, don't call my mom. She'll kill me. Good. It helps us. We are weird creatures. And you know what? Let me tell you something. People who get a long way from that person, like if it's their parents, and they get a long way from that person, they do a lot of really bad things. Because a lot of us don't love Jesus enough. And you should love Jesus enough that nobody in the world ever sees it. You do right. But you know what? So should your children. My children, I do everything perfectly right whether mom and dad see it or not. But if I have ice cream in the fridge and they think I'm not going to catch them, I'm not taking up any bets. Because we're humans. And you ought to have someone in your life who comes by every once in a while. I mean, I always think I'm getting in trouble. I go to somebody's house sometimes, and I'm not real demanding and pushy, and we have a lot of people who do a lot of bad things in our church. A lot of people who have a lot of bad backgrounds. We love them to death. They're new and they're coming along. You know how many things I've taken in my car that if I got pulled over at the time, I'd get arrested? Oh, I remember just grabbing stuff out of people. I said, what are you doing? I'm not doing it. You don't do that anymore. Give me that thing. I'm taking that. Go pour it out. Pour it in the toilet. And flush. I've taken stuff in my car. Oh, my soul. I got to call my wife. Saying, honey, just so you know, I got a fifth of whiskey in my car right now. I got a bad movie. Why? Because, and you know what? They appreciate it. Because if it's in the house, they're going to do it. And they aren't strong enough to throw it out. So I take it, and I break it over their head. No, I don't. I take it, and you know why? Because somebody needs to be watching out for us. And you know what? Don't get mad when your spouse says, don't do that, honey. And we get all defensive, us men especially. What do you do? Don't tell me. And by the way, sometimes an unsaved person can straighten you out. And sometimes you're being lazy at work and your boss tells you to quit being a bum. It's okay. You're a foolish person if nobody can rebuke you. You're a foolish person. We're so thin-skinned nowadays. Don't tell me. You offended me. You shouldn't tell me what to do. You're judging me. Well, you're doing heroin, dummy. I'm not judging you. The Bible says thou shalt not. You're hurting your children again. Knock it off. You're ruining your life. You don't do that. Somebody ought to go and be able to tell you, knock it off, and have some kind of spiritual accountability. Paul said, I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to straighten you out if you won't straighten yourself out. And that's a weapon. And Paul said, I have that weapon for you. I have that weapon to go and help straighten you out. I have authority and power, and I can do that. Give someone the authority in your life to rebuke you, and don't be so thin-skinned that nobody can tell you what to do, and all you can do is get angry. You're a foolish person, and people will not be able to help you. Let someone walk up to you and say, knock it off. You're messing around. You're ruining your life, and you better not do that anymore. Knock it off. And you say, thank you for loving me enough to say that. A whole bunch of non-friends will not mind you doing a whole bunch of bad things. And they'll let you ruin your whole life and not say a word. By the way, don't mind coming to a church where the preacher is going to let you have it. You want a church where they're going to be really nice to you and tell you, aren't you wonderful and you never do anything wrong? This ain't the place. You haven't figured that out? Listen to sir, this go to, come tonight. The guys will preach harder than me. Listen, if a preacher gets up there and said, thus saith the Lord, this is wicked, this is sin, thou shalt not, you say, I'm glad a preacher preaches the Bible. A lot of churches nowadays are afraid to say, thou shalt not, and thus saith the Lord, and everyone wants to pat you in the back and rub your belly, and you're all happy, and you know what? Pillsbury Doughboys don't become good Christians. You need preach that sometimes. You need preach that sometimes. Let there be some spiritual accountability in your life. Number three, thing that pulls down strongholds. I got to hurry. Number three, the Word of God. The Word of God. Ephesians. Let's go to Hebrews. We're almost in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. These are things the Bible says are weapons. The next weapon we have, you want to pull down a stronghold in your life? It is the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Did you know in the teaching of the Bible, in the armor of God, do you understand all these things are defensive? Shield of faith is defensive. The breastplate of righteousness, defensive. All the different things it talks about, all being girt about, these are not things you attack with. They're all to defend you. And you need the armor of God to defend you from sin and defend you from the world and the devil and all those things. They defend you, but only one thing here, two things here, are talked about as offensive, and that's your sword is number one. Take unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You want to pull down strongholds? Fight it with the Bible. That's what Jesus did. Hey, Jesus was tempted by the devil, and he said, you should worship me. That Satan said, he says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou worship. Jump off the cliff. He says, no, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus used scripture to pull down strongholds and fight. The sword of the Spirit, the Bible right here, when the devil attacks you, you stab back with this. It's the only offensive weapon in the armor of God outside of this. And the next thing we'll mention, it is your offensive weapon. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. This book will help you not sin. That's why you got to read it every day. That's why you got to memorize it so you can quote it at the devil when he quotes it. You got to read it and you got to memorize. You got to hear preaching of it. You need this book because it'll pull down strongholds. Boy, when the sword of the Spirit, the Bible starts coming, that stronghold starts crumbling. It is a spiritual book that's supernaturally powerful and sharp and destroys a stronghold in your life. You just need to learn the Bible, what it tells you. It'll teach you how to overcome your strongholds. It'll tear down your strongholds. It'll fight Satan. It is the great weapon. You've got to get the Word of God. You got to read it every day. You got to meditate on it. You got to memorize it. Hide it in your heart so you won't sin against God. The Scripture is the weapon to pull down strongholds. How well do you know the Bible? How much do you read the Bible? Is your Bible dusty? Every day you should read your Bible. That quote, show me a Bible that is falling apart and I'll show you a life that isn't. Your Bible should be used and read and meditated. You should be memorizing those verses, and you should get it into your heart, and then you will be able to break down the strongholds, because this book has the answers and is life-changing and powerful. The Word of God is our weapon. It pulls down strongholds. A controlled mind pulls down strongholds. Spiritual accountability. And let me just say, last for this lesson, the last thing that tears down strongholds is prayer. Right here in the same passage. The only weapon is not the sword of the Spirit. It goes to that, but then it says, take into the helmet, verse 17 of Ephesians 6, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying. It's a colon there. It's not a new subject. Most of your Bibles, if they separate passages, it'll have as a different section. It's not a different section. There's a colon there, and then it continues. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying with all prayer and supplication. It's the same passage about fighting in the armor of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, watching unto prayer, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of God, for which I am ambassador. Praying always. Two things here about prayer. Number one, personal prayer. You need to have a prayer life if you want to tear down strongholds. By the way, pray about your strongholds. Lord, I struggle with... The other day, I had done something bad, And I was in, somewhere in the back of my mind trying to not confess it, but confess it, and kind of just not really dealing with it. And I didn't do, it wasn't a wicked sin. It was, I didn't do something as much as I should have. And I was supposed to do something for a certain amount of time, and I didn't do it. And I was kind of feeling guilty about it, and I was kind of trying to get around telling God I didn't quite do this. I thought, why am I so stupid? I think God knows. You ever do that? You got to get like that, and you're kind of like, okay, you know, well, you know. And I sat there and tried to justify it and try to think, you know, do I need to really confess this as sin? You know, I don't really need to say that I didn't really do it, you know. And I thought, I think God knows this. I said, Lord, you know what? This is stupid. I messed up, and I didn't do it. You know how long, I was supposed to do it for this long, I didn't do it long enough, and I messed up, and I sinned against God. Just talk to God about your strongholds. Be honest with God. Lord, I cannot stop doing this. Lord, I struggle with this. Lord, I'm hurting in this. Talk to God about your strongholds. Lord, I feel this way in my mind because people told me this. I'm struggling with this. Pray about it. Ask God, God, give me the victory. You're supposed to be praying all the time, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Pray without ceasing. A prayer life that doesn't just, okay, I'm time to eat. Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. And then you go and you say, okay, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord's soul to keep. Da, 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 da. And you finish your prayer. And that's not your prayer. It's prayer and pray all day long. Talk to God all throughout the day. Praying always. Stay in touch with God. You'll find you'll get his power and his holiness. Praying always. Personal prayer. Secondly, have someone praying for you. Have someone praying for you. Go to the book of James. By the way, how many of you people know the person in your life that you do not want to catch you? Raise your hand. That's all? Oh, you're in trouble. There should be someone in your life, that you should be afraid of them finding out because they're going to straighten you out. James chapter 5. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. It didn't say sins, by the way. You confess your sins to God. 1 John 1:9. Confess your faults. I think you could probably substitute faults for strongholds. It's a error, a fault line. It's something that's wrong. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Some people go for years and decades with the same issues and they keep it private and they never overcome it because they keep it private. You got to have someone in your life that you just say, you know what, I need to tell you something. You don't have to tell them every gory detail. But go to them and say, I have a struggle with this and I need you to pray for me. There are people who can keep secrets. There are people you can trust in your life that aren't going to tell other people, and they can pray for you. You don't have to tell them every detail. You can if you think you need to, but you need to tell them, I really struggle with my temper. I really am, I'm hurting people. I got a terrible mind, or I cannot quit gossiping. And have say, will you pray for me to stop that? It says, the Bible commands you to do this. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. You may be healed, the effectual fervent prayer of righteousness. And by the way, it might not be your spouse you go to. It might hurt your spouse to tell them that. You need to go to somebody and say, I need you to pray for me, because our prayers for each other make a difference. Our personal prayers make a difference, but our praying for each other makes a difference. Have somebody praying for you to get victory over your stronghold. Confess your faults one to another. By the way, they won't be shocked that you have a stronghold, because they probably have one too. Pray for each other. The Lord will move you for somebody to pray for someone. Pray for someone and have them pray for you, vice versa. Jesus did this for Peter. Let me turn to the book of Luke. Let me the last passage I'll turn to. But he knew that Peter was going to be going through it. In Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Jesus knew somehow that Peter was going to be thrashed by Satan. And you will find God will put someone on your heart that you need to pray for. You won't even know why sometimes, but all of a sudden you know they need your prayer. They need you to pray for them. And when Jesus prayed for Peter, he said, you will be okay, even though Satan's going to try to sift you and he's going to try to destroy you, because I have prayed for you. You know how important it is we pray for each other in our struggles and our battles and our heartaches and our pains? I think Christians fall many times because they carry their burden alone and they don't get anybody to pray for them. Pray for each other. Find someone who's struggling and pray for them. If God puts someone in your heart, maybe you can call them and say, you know, I'm just thinking about you and I'm praying for you. Is someone I need to pray for? You'd be surprised all of a sudden they'll say, you know, I'm really having a battle right now. The Spirit knows that and He can lead you. Pray for each other. And He said, Peter, you're going to make it because I'm going to pray for you. You want to pull down your strongholds? You have the weapons to do it. The weapons are prayer. The weapons are the Word of God. The weapons are spiritual accountability. By the way, that's why you need to go to church. So people can learn to pray for you, and so you can be around some people who can love you, and you can also get rebuked and hear the Word of God. And a controlled mind. All these things are weapons to pull down those strongholds. You don't have to be a victim to a stronghold. You can tear it down. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I pray today that strongholds be pulled down, Lord. I pray we wouldn't stay the same. I pray we wouldn't be defeated. But today you've given us these weapons, Lord, right there in that passage. You've given us people who can help us, who can give us the wisdom. Paul had the wisdom of what to do for them. People who can straighten us out when we're going astray. We have the Word of God. We have prayer, Father. We have these different weapons, Lord. We have the ability to control our mind and bring it into captivity, every thought. Lord, help us be people who are overcoming strongholds, Lord. There's some other things we're going to talk about, but Lord, if we can just get prayer and the Bible and spiritual accountability and a controlled mind, Father, we'll tear down the strongholds pretty quick. Help us to do so, Father, and help us to tear down the strongholds, whatever they are, Lord, however long they've been in our lives, whether generational or just new to us in the last few weeks. Help us to tear down the strongholds.